Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates on this channel each week. On Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. The title of my message today is number 380, What is Progressive Revelation? Now, this was based on a couple of questions, actually, we received this past week. Wednesday is our podcast update, but as the name of our podcast implies, all of our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. Since about one-third of the entire Bible, somewhere between 33% of all the Bible is prophecy, it's not unusual or difficult to find a prophecy thread in much of the Bible, much of our teaching. We love answering questions. In fact, that's how we get the topics like we have today on progressive revelation. Send us an email if you have a question or if you have an idea for a future topic. Send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. I answer all of those emails myself. I love answering questions. So let's start off at the very beginning. What is progressive revelation? Well, typically, I don't even like the word progressive because it's been given a particularly troublesome definition today, especially politically. However, we have received some questions from our video and our podcast audience. And as I was organizing my responses, I realized they kind of all grouped together under this category, under this theological term called progressive revelation. So let me give you an idea of the questions I received and how they relate to this topic, and then we'll get into the topic and define what we mean by progressive revelation. So one of the questions that I received this last week was, why was heaven and hell not mentioned, and then Jesus spent a lot of time talking about it? Why didn't the Old Testament say that the Messiah would have to die first? And then finally, why did Peter believe that the end times actually started at Pentecost? So those are all three great questions. So let me give you some of the specific answers I gave them, and then we'll get into this topic called progressive revelation. First, heaven and hell. Yes, Jesus talked about hell. However, it isn't true that he talked about hell more than any other topic. Jesus addressed a very wide range of topics, including love, forgiveness, salvation, the kingdom of God. He talked a lot about faith, discipleship, and moral conduct. And of course, he did these often through parables. Now, it is true that in the Old Testament, the concept of hell wasn't fully understood, or what we would say revealed by God. However, we will see that there is some hints of it. For example, the prophet Daniel actually does probably the very best job of talking about heaven and hell. And this sounds, what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, actually sounds very much like it could be right out of the New Testament book of Revelation. Daniel says this, he says, "And there will be a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake," speaking about a resurrection, "some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." So the idea of the resurrection of both the righteous as well as the wicked is given to us there in Daniel. Yes, it is true that the New Testament gives us more about heaven, hell, and resurrection, and the righteous and the wicked than the Old Testament. But again, this ties in with our topic of what we call progressive revelation. So let's go on. Jesus' death on the cross. Well, absolutely. The Jews were definitely expecting that the Messiah would come, would reveal himself, and immediately take a seat on the throne of David and establish the kingdom of Israel and all of the promises made to the Old Testament to the people of Israel would be fulfilled. And of course, that didn't happen. It wasn't that they were wrong. It's just that they didn't know about this time period for the last 2,000 years called the Age of the Church. Now, there are some hints, however, that the Messiah would be killed. Isaiah 53:5, for example, verses about what we call the suffering servant says this. He says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Again, this is referring to the suffering servant. We know that as Jesus. Now, in Psalm 22 was actually quoted by Jesus when he was on the cross, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then again, the prophet Daniel prophesied that the anointed one, another word for the Jesus, because anointed means Messiah, would be cut off. In the NIV and other translations, it says that he would be put to death. So now get to our third question. Had to do with Peter, who came out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And he was the one that basically said, all of this that you see happening, which is the 120 speaking in unknown tongues, people could understand them. He related it to what the prophet Joel had said. He said, this is what's happening. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So most Bible scholars say that Peter was actually indicating that a new age was beginning, an age after the old age. It's just that it wasn't revealed to Peter that there would be this age of the church. It doesn't mean that Peter was wrong. Doesn't mean that he wasn't prophesying properly. It's just that it was interpreted to mean that the end times, the time spoken of by Joel, as well as some of the Old Testament prophets, had actually started. What Peter didn't know is that this age of the church would ultimately culminate into what we know as the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So the Old Testament includes a number of different topics. It includes the history books, and includes the major prophets, the minor prophets, includes prophecy, as well as that Psalms, as well as Proverbs. Now, each of these books build upon the foundation that was provided prior. The Old Testaments, from the writings of Moses to the last book of the Old Testament, covers a period of 1,500 to 2,000 years of what we would call progressive revelation from God about the future plans of God and how we are to live and to respond to both God and to man. If you remember your Sunday school explanations about these two groups that were antagonistic towards the ministry of Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and your Sunday school teachers told you there was a difference, that the Sadducees often were depicted as not believing in the resurrection of the dead. Now, the Apostle Paul, the Pharisees, and the central tenet of modern Judaism comes from the Pharisees, who believed in a literal resurrection of the dead. And why is that? Well, again, it has to do with progressive revelation. The Sadducees only believed in the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. They did not believe that the prophets were speaking the oracles of God. They didn't believe that God was revealing truth upon truth. Now, we can see this clearly in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. At the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, it says this. It says, God, who in various times and in various ways spoken past in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who is the appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds, who through the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty. So you see, even in the book of Hebrews, it's explaining that this was a mystery. You see, this has all been revealed to us, that Jesus is the only Son of God, who became the sinless sacrifice for our sins. And this was a mystery prior to being revealed to us. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses this word mystery often. For example, in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, now by the revelation he has made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already to you, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There is the word mystery twice, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And then he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. You see, this is not something that the Old Testament prophets revealed. progressively, God revealed that when the time was right. This is what we call progressive revelation. Another example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I love this. This is the chapter where that we quote often. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, meaning we will not all die, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. You see, Paul tells us that we are, the mystery that's been revealed to us is Christ in us. This is the hope of glory. That's in Colossians 1. He calls it a mystery that's now been revealed to the people of God. One more. In 1 Timothy, Paul lays out another mystery. He says this. He says, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And then he tells us who Jesus is. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. You see, my friends, this is all what we call progressive revelation. Now, that's just a theological term. It means that we have a New Testament that is just as trustworthy as the Old Testament. Progressive revelation tells us that some things were for their time only, later to be set aside. This happens, for example, in the case of the dietary laws. You know, why don't Christians follow kosher laws? Well, because Jesus revealed in the Gospel of Mark, and you can read it for yourself in Mark 7:19, that those dietary laws were set aside, that all foods are to be eaten. Progressive revelation evolves not from error to truth, but rather from one truth to another. One scholar said it was from the lesser to the greater, from the temporary to the enduring or enduring. One way to look at it is from the incomplete to the complete. In the Old Testament, the Lord dealt with his people, as we know, through animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, we see clearly that the Passover lamb, for example, pointed to Jesus, who was the spotless Son of God. He was the Passover lamb. The New Testament in the book of Hebrews tells us that there's no need anymore for priests to offer sacrifices. Hebrews 10 tells us that there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. And then it tells us why. Because Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for sin, and it happened once for all time. And now he sits at the right hand of God. You see, my friends, this truth has been revealed to us. Another truth I love is that we are actually co-heirs with Jesus. Again, Paul calls this a mystery. In closing, I want to remind you of what's been revealed to us, this mystery of Christ's second coming. The Old Testament couldn't possibly have understood it because they didn't truly understand the coming of the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was promised, but it wasn't all revealed to them how this would happen. But this second coming, of course, of Jesus is told to us by Jesus himself. In John 14, remember, he says this. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you to be with me so that where I am, you may be also. You see, this is referring to the second coming. This is what's referred to as the rapture of the church. Jesus comes back for his bride. The resurrection of the dead was revealed in the Old Testament. However, in the New Testament, Jesus reveals that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that will rise us from the dead. He comes first for his bride. That's the true believers of the church. This happens, of course, before the tribulation. And that, by the way, the tribulation was just Daniel's 70th week. There was no specificity. There was no explanations of what was going to happen for this one remaining week after the Messiah was cut off. However, the New Testament book of Revelation clearly tells us that there will be a series of sevens. Seven trumpets followed by seven seals. Followed by seven trumpets, followed by seven vials, culminating, of course, with Jesus coming to put an end to sin, to put an end to the war of Armageddon. Jesus comes and plays and sits down or seats down at the Mount of Olives. The angels told the apostles, why are you looking into the sky? This Jesus that you see ascend will come back in like manner. And again, Jesus, we're told in the book of Revelation, will reign 4,000 years. This was a mystery that the Old Testament saints did not know, that's been revealed to us in the New Testament. I hope that answers all of your questions related to this idea of the revelation of God over centuries. The Bible, my friends, is an amazing book. It's a book that can be trusted, you can believe it, and actually it's more valuable than gold or silver. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. So, Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this topic.
And Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming 7-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Baer. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Baer. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.